and it's safe to go back in the water. This is Sharkbait, and this is Sharkbait's Chumline Podcast on February 20th, Wednesday, 2013. Today I'm going to be talking about the symposium that took place last Friday on February 15th up at Yale University. It was a shark symposium entitled From Ocean to Plate, and basically it had different components of it. The first component was scientific research. They had four panelists on there, which included people who do shark tagging work out on the west coast of the United States. You had someone who does shark DNA on shark fins. You had someone who does shark education and ecosystem-based management. And you also had someone who does shark policy as far as, you know, protecting sharks and how it ties into the upcoming CITES conference, which is the beginning of March, which is, again, the convention for the international trade of endangered species of flora and fauna, I believe. Then, after a small break, you then had four other panelists who were, for lack of a better term, arts and humanity. So you had someone who does paintings of sharks and how that relates to nature. You had someone who does sustainability and seafood. You also had a world-renowned National Geographic photographer who has done a lot of work photographing sharks, and you also had a shark attack survivor. And again, a lot of this kind of tied into CITES and the upcoming proposed protections that they're going to be looking at. And again, I hope to have some guests coming up in the next few shows. I'm just going to touch lightly on what the proposals are that are coming up. And again, CITES is kind of an international agreement between about 177, I believe, countries. It's voluntary. And basically, you propose some sort of international law, because obviously fish and animals and wildlife and the fauna that you see don't really adhere to where the boundaries are between countries. So these fish are going in and out, depending on migration patterns, depending on even mating habits. So they don't really know when they're crossing into another country's border. So this is so that there's some sort of unilateral agreement on how we should manage these animals. And in particular with the sharks that are going to be looked at here, you're looking at the three different species of hammerheads, you're looking at the poor beagle, you're looking at the oceanic white tip, and then two different species of manta rays. But you're not looking, this isn't putting them on an endangered species list. The way this works is that they're trying to get them, those particular species, they're hoping to get them to get added to Appendix 2 of the CITES agreement, which says that there's enough evidence that we should be concerned for these animals, that we should start looking at regulatory measures to both control the trade in the food supply of, you know, if you're using, not so much with these, but in general in other animals or anything, if there's some sort of trade for their meat, their pelts, their whatever. There's evidence that this really needs to be looked at, because the next step could very well be that these are endangered species. So these species are usually referred to as like threatened. So along those lines, one of the earlier talks in the first part of it was Dr. Damian Chapman, who's done shark fin DNA work. And to kind of boil it down, shark and any sort of DNA work is not the most inexpensive endeavor. DNA work is usually very labor-intensive, and it can get very costly. So in a way to kind of circumvent that, they've realized that you can tell the fins of certain sharks. And this applies mostly towards when you're talking about the shark fin trade. And a lot of that is what drives the fishing for sharks, is the cost of the fins and how much a fisherman can get for, you know, a pound of fin versus the pound of the shark meat. So you can't then test every fin that comes in, but you want to start looking to see, and this will tie into the, if some of these species get put on the appendix 2 of the CITES, is you want to find out how you can easily recognize these. So Dr. Chapman actually had a sample of a guide that I believe it's Pew Environment is putting out that shows there's a quick and easy way for people to, you know, whoever's doing the enforcement of these species. And again, this I'm sure other animals have the same sort of advocacy for them and are looking for the same protection. So everyone's kind of jostling for that position to try to show, here's how we can accomplish what we want to protect these species, to kind of limit what's going on. And here's how you can do it. And that's the most important thing. So obviously you can't do DNA to test to see if this fin is coming from a dogfish, or if it's coming from a great white, or if it's coming, in this case, from oceanic white-tipped sharks. So getting back to that, Pew Environment has put together a guide for enforcement agencies around the world to easily identify what kind of fin you're looking at. So this will hopefully curtail any backlash you get from people saying, well, there's no way to tell, these fins could be from anything. There are certain distinctions, there's markings within the each of these three different groups, the poor beagle, the hammerheads, and the oceanic white tip, that will make identification very easy, very quick, and kind of give you a very broad, yes, this definitely looks like it should be from an oceanic white tip, so now let's go ahead and do the DNA testing on it. Instead of just let's, you know, randomly pick some or pick these, it's going to be much more cost effective and it should work. The other talk that really grabbed me from this took place in the second half, the creating a culture of conservation, they called it. And it was from the shark attack survivor Krishna Thompson. And anyone who is, I shouldn't even say interested in shark conservation, it's, if you have a general interest or want to hear someone who change your life, I don't know, but it will make you see things, see the world around you differently, and make you stop and think and realize what you have, I highly recommend, if you ever see Krishna talk, go see his talk. He talks about his shark attack story, which in and of itself is incredible. He will talk about how he got into shark conservation and what can be done and what he's doing. And the way he tells the story, you know, I've met him, I've known his story for a while. Even last year, I got the chance to work with him on a project, but I had never heard him give his talk until this past Friday. And at that, it was a short talk, 17, 20 minutes. Knowing this story the way I do, it easily could have been a longer story and that much more effective. But I was sitting in the front of the room, so I can't tell you really how many people were in the audience. Most of them were students at Yale. The majority of them were students at Yale. But everyone was captivated by him. He was the only speaker that was not behind the podium, and that could also be why he was just so captivating. Because he did use the whole front of the floor. But the way he tells his story, the events of his story are just so incredible that everyone was just enthralled with everything he was saying. So again, Krishna Thompson, if you may have seen him on Shark Week's, that he did a show, it was called Shark Fight this past year, and he's been on other times, but this one kind of told his story. But again, if you, especially if you're in the Long Island area, Long Island, New York, he does some engagements here. I think he's actually trying to become a motivational speaker, So if you're looking for someone, I highly recommend Krishna Thompson for this. So we're going to end there. Again, I just kind of touched on some CITES things. Again, I'm still working on getting some more people on here as far as doing interviews. And a lot of those are people who are involved in shark conservation, different conservation groups. And with that, we're hoping to get someone on before the CITES, which takes place, it's coming up now in almost 2 weeks, to kind of talk about how CITES works, what they're expecting, how things have gone in the past. Sounds like I definitely may have some commitments to actually have people kind of reporting from Bangkok, which is where the CITES conference is taking place, in place so that I can bring you updates, and they can bring you updates, and we can talk about what's going on at CITES and how things are looking. So, in the meantime, go out there, learn what you want about sharks. It's all out there. I'll put some links up on the blog. Again, the blog is sharkb8chumline.blogspot.com. You can like us on Facebook. Just do a search for Sharkbaits Chumline. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can email me at sharkbait@sharkbaitpod.com. Find me on Twitter at sharkb8chum. And join in the conversation about sharks. Let me know what you want to hear, what you want to talk about. Still developing some other storylines past when CITES goes. So, everyone have a good week. I will talk to you next week. And, Mr. Finn, what do you have to say about sharks?
Sharks are awesome.